Thank you, Chairman. I wanted to comment on Chinese colleague's paper. I'm sorry, Chinese intervened a moment ago. On our Japanese colleague's paper, please excuse me. The first portion of the paper talks about the verification protocol and the negotiations and draws some conclusions that have been challenged by others about the feasibility, the utility, the challenges associated with that. Now, I wanted to touch on that point briefly, just in the context of history. It's been a couple times we've talked about looking forward, then there's been some discussion about looking back. I think my UK colleague rightly cautioned us to make sure we don't look at history through rose-colored glasses. We should definitely look at history. We should look at the past to take it into account. We should not be bound or restricted by it. And we should also not kid ourselves about any of it. With respect to Verex and its conclusions, I think it's important to recognize that Verex did not conclude that there was a set of measures that would provide for effective verification. It concluded that none of the measures would be effective by themselves, but that in combination, a series of measures with varying degrees of utility could potentially provide some additional transparency and assist in discerning prohibited from permitted activity. To what degree was not specified. Whether this would be an effective regime was not specified. There wasn't actually agreement beyond that point. So it's important to be careful about that. I think similarly, when we think about the composite text, not only was it an imperfect beast, it wasn't fully accepted. As I recall, there were a number of delegations, including some that have spoken fondly of the composite text today, that maintained vigorously at the time that it was not an acceptable negotiation basis. They wanted to return to the rolling text with its some, I believe the number was about 1,400 brackets. So I think we can certainly profit from looking at the past, but we also need to be aware of the limitations of that past. But the main reason I asked for the floor was the second piece of the Japanese paper, which talks about investigation. I think it rightly focuses on a particularly important and difficult question. What do we do when we have questions or concerns? Whether those are concerns about potential use or about potential prohibited activities. Article 5 is very general in nature. In the context of past RevCons, we have taken decisions to, providing for consultative meetings. We have recognized the ability to draw on experts. We have also recognized the ability to convene a meeting to discuss a concern about alleged use. It's not mandatory because that would be inconsistent with the convention, which clearly gives a state party the right to go directly with a complaint to the Security Council. But we have a potential institutional piece there. My government at the review conference advanced a number of proposals specifically about ways we might build out consultative mechanisms under Article 5. But I think the key point here is there is a particular challenge when we have a concern, a question, an allegation, and we need to look very hard at ways to strengthen our ability to deal with that. Now, what that might look like, there are probably a range of different approaches, and I think that bears some careful consideration and discussion. But I think this is a fundamentally important issue, and I think it is one that cuts across a number of different perspectives. Thank you, sir.